Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Quick Slants with Bethel University head football coach Steve Johnson. Quick Slants is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Bethel coach questions about the Royals, football or sports in general, or just seek Coach Johnson's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, the coach talks to us about the impressive victory over St. Olaf and what he's expecting against St. John's this week. He discusses the impressive coaching that is going on in the MIAC. And why does the coach always seem to post Twitter messages about eating? Let's find out on Quick Slants.
Well, let's welcome back Coach Johnson this week. Coach, let's first of all start with team updates from you.
We're doing pretty good physically. With the exception of Brady Pomsta, our running back, and that's a tough one, just because he's kind of been hobbled all year and. He's an emotional leader for us and everything else, but it looks like we're going to lose him for the season. His leg just isn't responding like it should, and so probably a little bit dangerous to kind of keep going. And he's not able to play the way that he'd like to. So anyway, that'd be the only one. Otherwise, we're getting a little bit more healthy. Of the guys that. Maybe could return. We're doing okay. So,
well, that's always good to hear. So let's first of all start with you have the big win over St. Olaf last week. How important did you see that win for the team?
Well, it's real important, and I think there's a we've got a pretty young team in a lot of spots, and you kind of need to have some success and some fruits your labor. We always are. We always seek to be 1-0 every week and not kind of worry about who we're playing. And so really it was more important that we played well, and I feel like we did. And I think we were able to have some guys, step up, and then we could kind of see what they could do. But even more importantly, I think they felt like they could play, you know what I mean? Sam Gibbs, a freshman running back, continues to improve, and we have another freshman running back, Gideon Ebihar, that's a nice running back also, and he's stepping up too. And so there's a lot of excitement with those two guys, because we're a team that wants to run the ball and be strong that way, and we've kind of had a lot of things kind of sabotage that so far.
The defense made a lot of really big plays for you last weekend. Were there some players that you thought whose performance really stood out for you?
Well, I think, as a whole, they're just doing a great job. I think, Dawson Brown, he stands out all the time. And so it's hard to say one guy stood out more than him, but he just does. But we're giving him a variety of assignments. And so he's even rushing the quarterback now, and so he's just a really good player. And defense or offensive people have to account for him, and so that helps other guys grow that way. Cam Munson has been a guy who has played well all year, and Josh Dahlke, we got him back, and he continues to go. And probably Andrew Ragsdale has been our most consistent defender all year, along with Cale DeBoer at free safety.
You talked a little bit about the running game from last weekend. I know that was something you wanted to see take a more prominent role with the team. Were you satisfied with what you saw last Saturday?
Well, I'm never satisfied, Robert, but I was pleased that we had some fruit of our labor. You know what I mean? There's sometimes where, you really can't listen to all the outside noise, and the film room is a real test. So when, coaches are going crazy, on the sideline, unless they're way smarter than everybody else in the whole world, they're not exactly sure why something didn't work, because there's nobody out there who's not trying to get things done, and the other team's practicing too. And so I was pleased with our footwork. I was pleased with some of the work that we did up front with the O-line, and they're continuing to grow, and that's probably where we're the greenest, and that's probably where we've lost the most. And as far as injuries are concerned, which causes you to become even more green, you know what I mean? So To answer your question, I'm very pleased with the growth that we've had in the running game, and I think that some things as coaches that we can do a little better too. I think we need we've got a lot of flow and reach type schemes that we're into, but we haven't given the guys enough power type running game, and so we need to increase that.
You travel to St. John's this weekend, always one of the biggest games of the year for you. What are some things you look for to be keys in this game?
Well, we really feel like it's an exciting place to play up there. We love going up there. Their fans don't like us very much, and they, make a lot of noise and say a lot of things, and that's kind of enjoyable for us, and the atmosphere will be great. Keys to the game are always the same. Hang on to the ball, get first downs. They're very explosive. We need to do a great job defensively. As we attack them, we need to be sharp. The one thing that we're talking about all week is we're not going up there to be careful. We're going up there to play our brand of football. We want to play the best of football, and our goal is that people hate to play us because we're physical and fast and play hard for a long time, and so that's what we're going to do.
You have two of the more polished sophomore quarterbacks in the MIAC, with Jake Marsh and Jackson Erdman facing off against each other. What are some things that you see where Jake needs to do to be successful, and what are some things you try to do to slow down Jackson?
Well, Jake is he's a great competitor. He needs to stay poised and stay where he's at with his footwork and all of his reads. He's really good, and so, but sometimes in a game he'll get to where we need him to do the really little things phenomenally, the big plays will happen because they happen, but what I need him to do is really be poised, and we really got to get to what's next and have our head down and not worry about the score, but worry about the next play.
I know St. John's has always been a kind of defense that has allowed teams to kind of move the ball, but has been really tight when it got close to their own end zone. As a coach, does that make it so that you decide to go for field goals in those situations, or because you believe that you're deep there, you got to really try to gamble more and go for the touchdowns, even if it's fourth down?
I think that depends on the game. I feel like we want to be solid in our execution and whatnot. And I guess I don't really feel like it's way different than any other game, to where I feel like, we there are some times where you want to, let's take the points. Well, we got to get those points, but we don't very often, if we're inside the 10, I'm not very good at going for field goals right there. So we're going to pretty much go do what we do and not worry about St. John so much.
Well, let's head to fan questions this week. We start with Don, who says, I found your comments about the improvement of the MIAC interesting. It seems that there are so many good coaches in the conference now. Is that your assessment?
Yeah, really, that's a great point. I think that the coaches in the league, and what a coach does is so hard to evaluate or, say, because, there's a recruiting piece and the development of players and all those different things. And I feel like the coaches top to bottom in our league are just, they're really terrific. And, that's really great. I almost wouldn't mind if we were maybe not so good, because it's so tough. But that's a great comment. I think the coaches in the league have a lot to do with it, and coaching D3 level is a blast. And I just think that being involved in the lives of these kids is really a blessing. So good people have gotten the jobs, and they're competent and really good at what they do, but they're also great with kids.
Our next question is, isn't it boring that the teams in the conference choose names like Tommy's, Johnny's, Ole's, Gusty's? Where's the creativity?
Yeah, I have no idea where that all came from, but it's it's way, way older than me and the question giver. So I think that Tommy's and Johnny's and stuff like that was like in maybe Abraham Lincoln or something made those up. So we just got to have to live with them, I think.
Samuel asks, he says, you have had so much success at Bethel, it makes me think that there must be other challenges that you would consider taking on. Is that true?
Well, you know what? Every day is a challenge, and there's not a, I don't know, I mean, I don't think that, I guess I've never felt like done at Bethel and never felt like, you know, wherever I am, I'm going to treat it like a challenge and kind of walk that way. This is the day the Lord gave me and us, and we're going to rejoice, be glad in it, and do the best we can to grow.
Phil asks you, he says, what are your thoughts about coaches that cheat by playing under the paying players under the table, like what Louisville is accused of?
I guess I don't know. I don't know all the facts about it, and, you know, whatever you read, you know, sometimes it could be worse than it really is, and sometimes it's skewed to be worse than it really is. So I don't know if it's I guess I don't know at that level if I had any extra money. I don't know if I'd put it under the table or anything. I don't know.
Tim asks, he says, the Cubs are holding off the Brewers and the Cardinals. What do you think they need to do to win in the playoffs?
You know, I think the Cubs are really good. I think they're going to, you know, I think that everybody who wins in the playoffs is going to have to be a little bit fortunate. You know, the Cubs have a great lineup. I don't think they have the elite pitching that some of the other teams have, but they also, they just seem to kind of make it work when it happens. And so I think winning the division was a big deal for me, to where it just felt like, man, they're too good to not get to where they are right now. And I think I might not feel this way when playoffs start, but I think that everything past this is gravy. They're still a young team that's really, really good. But I think they're a little bit deficient pitching wise.
Well, if I remember last year,
we got to get the Twins past the Yankees first, for Pete's sake.
Very true. If I remember last year, I thought a key was you said that you had to stand in the doorway of your den. Wait, was that right?
I was a nervous wreck, and I've been kind of irritated with the Cubs all year because I just feel like they're playing under how good they are, and especially because I tell it that they're playing like Baez as a team, and Baez is like super duper unbelievable, and then he kind of falls asleep and doesn't do the little things well, and that bugs me.
Michael would like to know, he says, do you think the hurricane really took away some of the thunder for the Astros?
I thought that was really good, using all those weather analogies in the mix there. I don't know. I don't follow the Astros quite as much. I just don't hear about them that much, but I'm sure. I think those kinds of things can really bring you together more and do some good things that way. And so I think that hurricane, it is what it is. You know, it's not something you can control. So, but I do know that they're a young, really vibrant team, and they're really, really good for the city of Houston.
Carl would like to know, he says, don't you think it would have made sense for the Mets to have called up Tim Tebow? What did they have to lose?
I don't know. I think they just got to, I don't know. Just for fun, you don't want to just bring somebody up, and if he's good enough to play, bring him up. But I think, I believe that it's not, you know, I mean, I think they're trying to not make it be just a media thing, you know. So I don't think that people at that level are into that. So if Tebow's good enough, they should bring him up.
This is a lot tougher question to answer after last night, but Matt asks, he says, the Bears beat the Steelers. Is there hope?
No.
Not at
you
all.
Mean for the Steelers? No. I don't think the Bears are. I think the Bears are, they're okay, but they've got, you know, it just drives me nuts that everybody knows who the quarterback should be, and if the coach is the coach, as long as the coach is the coach, you know, let him do that. You know what I mean? It's like everybody kind of thinks they know all these things, and they don't. So, anyway.
Speaking of that directly, Sean asked, do you feel that Mike Glennon has the right kind of juice to make the Bears at least competitive?
Yeah, I don't know. I do. I do. I think he's got enough to be competitive. I don't know if Trubisky's ready. I don't, you know, they asked for this by doing the, you know, by giving up some draft picks to get Trubisky. So I don't know, you know, that kind of thing is like, I got a feeling that the Bears are playing who they think is the best guy and the guy that will help them win. So, you know, I think the coach, especially at that level, can't listen to outside stuff.
Denny would like to know, he says, it seems that there are some players who are just prone to getting hurt. I don't get why it always seems that Sam Bradford has some kind of injury.
Yeah, that is a true thing. It's like it makes you hold your breath all the time, and you know, and it's a tough deal. You know what I mean? He's sure worth waiting on, but at one point, you know, who's not growing? But I think this Keenum kid is a heck of a backup, so it's super. I mean, it's super fun. I think the Vikings have a shot to be pretty good. They're kind of a complete team.
As a coach, is that one of those situations where it's because of the aggressive style of a player that they're just more prone for? I mean, I guess there are some players I kind of look at and go, I don't really understand why they're hurt all the time. Is there an insight you see?
I don't know, because you couldn't say that with Bradford. You know, he's been hurt a lot, and you know, I think sometimes guys have a style that way, but that I don't know. I just don't think. I think it's, you know, injury prone is not. It's, there's no scientific data on that stuff, so I just can't. You know, guys get into awkward positions or whatever, or their training is different, or you know, I mean, football, their injuries are part of the deal. Nobody's, you know, this is a bad English, but nobody is ever not hurt or hurting. You know what I mean? It's like everybody's always. But if you're out, that's an injury. You know what I mean? So, you know, something that causes you to not be able to play, I think that there's, you know, the teams have to give up on them at one point. You know, if they can't play. So.
Ben says, "Thank God the Bulls got rid of Dwayne Wade."
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't work out real well.
He's kind of like just like a reality show, I think. You just go play with your friends on the Cavaliers or something. But I mean, sometimes I get so sick of hearing about the NBA and where all these rich guys want to play with their friends in the neighborhood.
Lynn would like to know, she says, while there are things that are legal for young men to look at, I wonder if you talk to the players or feel compelled to talk to them about such things as gambling or pornography. It would seem that these are things that could really have a negative effect on a young man.
No doubt, you know, and I'm an old man too. I think that we talk about those things just about every day. What we need to decide, what kind of man do you want to be? Who do you want to be? And then write it on a rock and then go be that guy for others. And, you know, we definitely talk, you know, you think about pornography, you think about materialism, even if you don't have a lot in America, we all have a lot, you know, and so everybody's rich. And, you know, and there's a selfishness that we're all selfish and some of it's good, but most of it is not. And we need to talk about things like that. And we need to stay together and hold one another accountable toward good stuff, to put in good, and then the good juice will come out.
Gary asks, he says, with all the troubles going on in this country, doesn't it seem that a player taking a knee seems to be the least of our concerns?
Well, I know. I don't really want to talk about this, but I would say this is like, well, let's not have a national anthem anymore. You know, because it's offensive in every way. You know what I mean? So I'm not sure why we, I mean, if, I don't know.
Do we have to have a national anthem to play a game?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Our last question of the week comes from Valerie. She says, I like that your Twitter posts always seem to have eating involved in them in some way or another. Is that a sign of the coach's priority in life?
Well, no. I better check my tweets. I don't know. I just usually, if something comes to my mind or I'm rolling my eyes at myself, I usually tweet it. So last time I think it was about, you know, when tough times happen, I eat. So that causes my growth rather than I'm really supposed to grow from tough times. Anyway.
Well, that doesn't really show. The coach has slimmed down quite a bit here. You look like you're in incredible shape these days.
I wouldn't say I'm in incredible shape, but I'm trying to be okay.
Pretty awesome.
What's next? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Absolutely. So, well, thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
Okay, man.
We want to thank Coach Johnson for joining us on Quick Slants this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Bethel University head football coach, please send them to us at stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report. We'll see you next time on Quick Slants.